Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We may not be able to go out, but you know what we can do?
Can stay.
We
in.
Can stay.
Stay in the
in.
Place that we've paid rent
there
for.
There we
already.
Go. And I do think that we've lost that sense of just wanting to commune.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've made it, to be honest, about image.
We need sugar sisters as well as we need sugar daddies.
Not everything has to be, let's do brunch, let's do dinner, let's do lunch,
you
let's go for cocktail.
Them brunches. She said, you scrooges.
Do not be stingy.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about whether friendships are getting too expensive.
Big bucks.
Yo.
Are being
from
spent.
From birthday dinners to girls' trips away to the very reality that bills are increasing and the cost of living is rising.
Cost he lives.
However, the importance of investing in friendship and the pressure to shell out the peas. We're going to get into it and more.
Let's talk about it.
Oh, I can't wait for this topic because we've been having conversations in and amidst our own friendships. Yeah. We've been seeing a lot of things flying around on the TL and we are going to address them and more. But before we do that, we definitely have some housekeeping announcements.
We do.
The first one being the TMS live show. Come on, guys.
It's almost sold out.
Actually,
it's almost sold out. One of the biggest, well, most iconic venues in London. Over 1,000 women have already bought a ticket.
Have
so
you?
What are you doing?
Have you? See your mates. See your mates. This is big FOMO energy. If you miss out on this, I don't actually know what to tell you because we listened. You guys complained. You said, oh, we want more capacity. We want more shows. We want more this. We went to Hackney Empire. Invested 1,000, over 1,000 tickets, and over 1,000 tickets have long left. Okay. There's only a few left. Yeah. So please be wise.
But even on that, thank you. Like, that's actually crazy that with like no big marketing campaign, with like no ad spend, no big shout outs, like just the power of this community, we're literally about to sell out by God's grace alone.
Hackney Empire.
That's crazy. Like, top name comedians, celebrities, and stuff. That's what they do.
Look.
And we did that.
And this isn't like, we had a whole super team that's just been doing this event. It has been me. It has been Courtney, and it's been a wonderful event coordinator, Raquel. She will even be listening to this. Oh my gosh, guys, not the shout
Raquel.
Out. Raquel. But absolutely amazing, has been holding it down for the past 3 years, actually. So to see TMS live events go from a capacity of 100 to a capacity of 1,000 is insane. So genuinely, guys, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for investing in us. Thank you for investing in this community. And we would really, really appreciate it if you'd continue to support us to our goal of selling out Hackney Empire. And just to reiterate, as Courtney said, look, this is coming from our pockets. And we ain't doing this just to make money or whatever like that. A lot of the money, if not literally all of it, is being reinvested into TMS.
Making this next year bigger and better than ever. We're talking about next year, though, there are a lot of interesting changes and innovations, let's say, that are going to come into the TMS world. And we actually cannot wait to share that with you. But with that being said, we actually want to know what you would want to see from TMS. We are about to turn 3 years old.
Literally.
And so we feel like, okay, we're a toddler. We've got our food here. Let's actually figure out what we want to be, you know? And so we've been doing our planning and plotting, but this is a community effort. So we want to know, how can we bring value to your glowing and growing journey? We've created hundreds of episodes so far detailing thoughts, feelings, and like approaches to life, personal mm-hmm. development, relationships, healing, growth. But we want to know how we can actually give you value. Absolutely. And some of the things we have in mind are like workshops, bring on guests and stuff like that. Not gonna let you know too much. But what could we do for you? Is it an episode we could produce, a person we could bring on, a workshop we could hold, resources we could create for you? What do you need? All right, sisters, tell us. And this is not just in the UK. Globally, what do you need? How can we leverage the internet to help you? Are there any like charitable efforts you would like to see us involved in? Obviously, we've worked around like period, poverty, and menstruation. We've worked in the education space, digital education, entrepreneurship. Yep. But what would you like to see us do to help you advance? Yeah. And feel free to be as specific or as broad as possible. But we really do want to hear your feedback. So if you are listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below. If you're listening on Spotify, leave a comment on Spotify. If you have us on Instagram, we'll probably put up a post saying like, what would you like to see from TMS in our next year, and leave a comment under that. But your feedback is going to be a huge part of shaping what TMS looks like in the future. And we really do want this to be a collaborative effort. So yeah, thank you.
Please and thank you, sisters. Remember that this whole community is nothing without our actual community. As much as you see our lovely faces week in and week out and in various capacities, we want to make sure that you have ownership over this community. Yeah. And we are so interested to hear what it is that you want and need from the TMS community. Mm-hmm. And on that note, in terms of what we need from you, we need you to rate this podcast 5 stars.
Yes.
We need you to share it as well. Sisters, you've been coming in clutch, sharing with your friends. You've done
so well. Oh my gosh.
Celebration. So celebration. Well. 5 gold stars for you, but 5 gold stars for us too, please. Can you be sharing? Continue to share. If there's a sister that could really benefit from listening to our podcast, we would love it if you would share it with them. Even if it's a brother, you know, if there's something that you wanted to say to this brother that you didn't feel you could articulate, please share with him the podcast. We're trying to reach the brothers as well. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we really want to see this sisterhood grow, not just in terms of depth, but also breadth. We want to have a truly global community of sisters glowing and growing, and we can only do that if the sisters share with their sisters. So please support us. Well, now that the house is swept, somebody else needs support with their housekeeping.
They do.
We shall go into a ding ding ding
dilemma.
Okay, bear with me because this one is a little bit lengthy.
Yeah.
Hey, sisters.
Hello, sweetie.
Firstly, thank you so much for helping me navigate my first season of my self-awareness and personal growth journey from way back in 2020 when I was 19 years old and going through a lot.
It's our pleasure.
Words cannot express how grateful I am for being the role models I needed at that time in my life when I was lost and naive.
Mm.
So recently, I made friends with a girl through my current partner who at the time was going through a rough time in her marriage. She's 26 and has been married for almost 4 years. Despite this being a difficult time in her life, she was open to being friends with me as she expressed that she has never felt more alone, given the fact that her husband lives abroad and she had never had friends outside of her relationship.
Oh.
For some context of the gravity of the situation, her husband had been her closest friend, confidant, business partner, provider to some degree, and much more.
Wowzers.
However, he decided that he started dating someone else he met where he's currently living and wanted to pursue an open relationship so he could be with this girl. According to him, he couldn't relate and be open in conversation with his wife like he could with her. And this girl had the potential to help him achieve some of his ambitious pursuits. Eventually, he got her pregnant, but unfortunately, she had a miscarriage. Mm. My friend doesn't update me anymore on the matter, which I have come to accept, but is visibly an absolute wreck.
Mm.
It's been some months and some days she is feeling optimistic and other days suicidal.
Hey.
I don't know how to navigate this relationship with her by giving her more support than random acts of kindness, prayer, and encouragement, as it doesn't seem to be helping much.
Mm.
I haven't known her for long, and it's difficult considering that she doesn't open up easily, doesn't like asking for help, nor communicates her feelings well, which is understandable. Please, sisters, I need some guidance. She is a thoughtful, beautiful girl who doesn't deserve all this trauma, and I feel like I've exhausted my options here.
Mm.
Please, I don't know what I'd do if she harmed herself beyond repair. Mm. I'd have to fight the spirit of vengeance that would be directed towards that husband of hers. Awaiting some guidance. Thanks, girls.
Woo-wee. That is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, that's tough. It's tough. Firstly, her husband is trifling.
Absolutely trifling.
That is, yeah.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Whoa. And this is why, sorry to even interject. No, it's fine. This is why we need the From the Brothers to the Brothers.
Yeah.
As much as us women can talk about, oh, he's a cheater, he's trifling, etc. And some of boys, you need to check some of your boys ASAP.
Yeah.
Because what the hell?
That is serious.
What?
To be dating someone else and then impregnate them.
What?
And then just feel like, yeah, that's just okay.
I want to pursue an open relationship after you got married. After.
Interesting. So for me, I'd say, like, just from a friendship perspective, because you're not like the perpetrator of this situation, and also getting involved, or, you know, too involved in someone's marriage matters can become messy very quickly. And I would say, as much as you can give advice, don't give advice that has not been asked for, or when there hasn't been a space created for your advice to be given, per se. I do think you're doing well, though, in showing up for her genuinely just as a friend. Mm. So as much as her marriage can be... Marriage is tough, can be tough, right? And it can have the biggest toll on you because it's one of the closest, or is the closest relationship to you. And so I can imagine how this is probably... tainted and affected everything, like you said. You know, she's battling a lot of stuff now, mental health wise but for you as her friend, you have to understand that you can still create an environment for her to feel comfortable, mm-hmm. an environment for her to feel loved, and it doesn't necessarily need to be focused on, oh, let's sit down and talk about your marriage, or let's sit down and talk about how you're feeling. Even it can just be, do you want to come over and watch a film?
Yeah.
Like, or do you want to come over just to chill? And I understand that you might not be in the mood. Don't worry, we don't need to talk, but I would just love to keep you company. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or if you know that there are certain things she will need throughout the week, groceries, just a listening ear, a coffee, whatever it is, just show up. Show up in those capacities, just to be near, just to be close, and to show her that somebody does care. Mm-hmm. And that may create the environment, it may create the environment for her to start opening up, and also giving you the floor and the opening to advise her to potentially, in my opinion, leave. Her husband sounds like he's already left her. So it's just now, what does she want to do? And I know the husband hasn't left exactly, but he's may have violated their trust in some way, or at least he's abusing her love for him because she's not happy with this situation. And so I can't advise on what she should do in her marriage, and I don't think you can necessarily either, unless she opens up the floor for you there. But what I can advise is for you to be a sister and for you to be present and to create a space where she can feel safe, loved, cared for, nurtured in whatever way she may need. And she may not have the strength or the words to express it right now, or even feel like she can, because you are such new friends. But the fact that you are burdened with this in your own heart means that you now need to be proactive in showing her the love she may not be strong enough to ask for right now. And so show up, be present. And I would also say, ask your partner. Is she still with your partner? I guess you are. But ask your partner to talk to him. Because obviously you met her through him. And so I feel like an auntie all my him and hers confused. You met your friend through your boyfriend.
Right.
And so ask your boyfriend to chat to his boy, or ask him to chat to her partner. Because I do agree exactly with what you opened with, which is there are some conversations that need to happen from brother to brother, because unfortunately some men don't really want to listen to a woman's opinion about how they should steward their relationship, especially if they don't have proximity to her. And so I will definitely say, if you can get your boyfriend to have that man-to-man conversation with him, then you definitely should, because what he's doing is clearly out of order, because it's affecting her so negatively, or affecting his wife so negatively. And you can just stick to, when your friend gives you the opening to, and I think you can generally tell when someone's like, oh, I think I'm ready to talk about this now, or like, what do you think? And giving you the room to share your thoughts, then really empower her. I wouldn't even say to go in and be like, he's an asshole. You definitely can. But I would definitely take this as an opportunity to empower her and to remind her that, you know, as much as maybe he has been her whole world, he is not her whole world. Mm. She can go and build a new one outside of him, after him, or she can take that, you know, very directive authority position in her marriage that she has a right to as a wife to be like, I don't like this. Either this changes or we break up, right? And I know that that's like big talk, but she's a big woman, right? And she's grown and she's been in this relationship from a very young age. 22 or 23 to 26 is a long time, but also a lot has changed about you as a person in that kind of time, and it will continue to change as you mature. So a lot of her adult world has been shaped by her being with this man, and if she doesn't want to lock herself into something that she doesn't agree to, she should feel empowered enough to put her foot down and be like, this isn't actually what I want for my life. And maybe that empowerment will come from a very supporting sister who reminds her of who she is and what power lies within her to start directing her life and making the life that she wants. And right now she may not see it because she may feel, like you said, she's going through a lot mentally, but I think with your encouragement and your continual love being poured into her, I don't see how she couldn't find that empowerment and that sudden, not sudden, but that gradual, even that gradual empowerment and boldness and freedom to say, you know what, something has to change. And whatever that change looks like, hopefully you can provide her with the wisdom that you have to be able to know what her options are and hopefully discern what the best one is for her and her husband at the time. But I will say, continue to pray, continue to be selfless as well, continue to give her the space she needs. Not necessarily distance, but as in create the space for her in your life that she would need right now to occupy. So whether that is, you know, looking at your schedule and seeing where you can fit her in or where you can go and, you know, maybe just spend some time with her. Pray for her. Pray for her eyes to be open so she can make these decisions independently. I think when you are a friend who's trying to counsel somebody, another friend, about their relationship, it gets a bit techie because it can go one or two ways, which is they can now begin to see you as an enemy of progress. And so one thing I will say is, if you do believe in the power of prayer, is pray that her heart becomes receptive to the good thing that God wants for her. And so she doesn't see that or think that you are pushing something onto her which she doesn't want. And so this is genuinely a process for her to go down, and a whole journey, a glowing and growing journey, and a grief journey, a heartbreak journey, whatever it is, a healing journey for her to go down. And I really think you should pray that God guides her on that journey, because there's only so much that you can actually do as someone who hasn't even known her for a very, very long time either. So continue to pray for her, continue to pray for her sanity. But very last, if anything does happen to her, it's not your fault. And I know that there can be that kind of worry there, which is, oh my gosh, I'm aware that somebody is suffering and I need to do something to stop that. But you weren't the cause of the suffering, nor are you the antidote to the suffering either. The suffering is being caused by the perpetrator who doesn't want to change. And so the only way that the victim can become free of the suffering is either to remove themselves from the situation, or for the perpetrator to change, or for God to cause a flipping miracle. And so I think you need to remember that this isn't all on you, but you can take up responsibility as a sister, but your role is just a sister and your capacity is limited to just being a sister. You're not her, so you can't make decisions for her, and you're not her husband, so you can't even control what happens in their marriage. And so pray for your friend and be the best sister that you can be, but remember that this is her journey to go on and you can only be a part of that.
Is there anything to add to that? Not even a little bit. Just what she said, underline it, and highlight it. You know when you're making notes on something, highlight, exclamation marks, circle, everything. Completely agree. That was super, super thorough and incredibly empathetic, because I think sometimes when you are a sister in a situation that is outside of your control, it can feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place. And I think it's something that we write about in our book, this whole idea of I can support you and like what the role of a supporting sister is, but I cannot be your son. And the frustration that comes with seeing your friend or seeing a loved one go through a very, very, you know, toxic or painful situation and wanting to directly intervene. But understanding that actually those levers of change are not attributed to you. You can only actually support or create safe spaces for them to exist. Or in some cases, you may have to, you know, directly intervene. And heaven forbid that we get to that situation or that place. But it's mostly a role of empowerment and supporting the sister that is in your midst to make the right decisions, or, you know, giving advice when called upon, resisting the temptation to give unsolicited advice as well.
That's the word I was difficult. Looking for.
Yeah. It can be really difficult because, again, you have a very different perspective in this situation, right? You're not in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes both the privilege and curse of being a quote unquote outsider is that you have a quote unquote objective lens and you can clearly see what is right and wrong. But equally, emotions are often as valid as objectivity. And having built a life with somebody, as you mentioned in the dilemma, this person is married to someone who is ostensibly their entire support system, business partner, somebody that is also a provider. And to go through that level of betrayal, it will take time to, you know, if she does decide to untangle herself or decide to separate, it will take time to get to that place. Yeah. Or equally, she might not want to. And it's being able to show up as a sister, even when your sister may be making decisions that you may not agree with. So it's really standing in agreement with her as a sister and not necessarily just partnering with her decisions. And I think sometimes that can be so hard and frustrating and difficult when you think you know what's right for your sister. I love what you were saying about you don't necessarily have to be the problem solver, but you can just create space for her to exist. I think that's super important, especially as women, having a place where you can take your hair down and just chill and actually exist and cry, or, you know, enjoy a movie with a bestie or, like, you know, have food, have jokes. It's very important that we create these spaces in people's lives, because when our lives are purely punctuated by pain, then it becomes very, very difficult to continue.
Yeah.
So understanding that showing up as a sister isn't just about, you know, supporting her in the decision-making element, but actually just creating space for her to exist as herself outside of this marriage, outside of this painful moment or this painful part of her life. And definitely agree, if you can push your boyfriend to go and do a little something, if you can from the back try and, you know, hey, I think you should have a conversation if you can. Again, not your responsibility and not something that you can force. But if you do have the capacity to do that, then that would be good. Because like you were saying, some folks are not receptive to, you know, that direct engagement. And sometimes it will take a different vessel for the message to hit hard.
That's good.
So if you can facilitate that vessel getting to that person and being like, bro, mano y mano.
Yeah.
We got some things to say. No. Honestly, I truly... We got some things to say. And I think it's important that it comes from a man's lips, because for some reason you hear it from a woman and all of a sudden it's falling.
She's nagging.
He's killing you. Gingering you. Hey, what is it? Why is it that when women talk, you're upset? You know what I'm saying? And continue to pray, you know, for your sister. Also just pray for all the folks involved in the situation. You know, you can, as hard as it may be, you know, you might need to pray for that husband and for the girl, because, you know, we need some heart posture changes in that situation. Very, very big ones. Which is super, super important. So yeah, sis, it's one of these situations where it's actually very difficult and there's no clear resolution or clear happy ending. All endings will be painful, because this is actually a painful thing that your sister is going through and all folks involved. The only thing that you can do is mitigate and support as best as you can, and show up for your sister now more than ever before. And you were saying that, oh, I'm not too close to her. This is your opportunity to get close to her. Not necessarily just to reveal her relationship, but what are the things that she likes to do, you know? Yeah. Do that with her. Where are the places that she would like to go? Maybe go there with her, you know? Think about if you're comfortable integrating her into, you know, other things that you like to do with your other friends and whatnot, just so that you can build some kind of community around her. I think that's super, super important. I don't know what her relationship is like with the rest of her family, but, you know, if it is a positive one, then, you know, figuring out how you can also get the family together, maybe not under the premise of your daughter's going through something, but, you know, do you know what I mean? It could be a nice, hey, let's go hang out with your family a bit more, or just finding ways to remind her that there is a community around her is super, super important in that time. But sis, not only are we praying for you, but we're also praying for your sister. We really, really pray that God actually does a miracle in your situation. And we really just encourage you to keep on. We really encourage you to, you know, take the time that you need to make the right decisions for you. And we're also praying for everybody in this situation. Literally. And sisters, if you are listening in, I don't know if you've had experience with, you know, when a spouse, you know, steps out on you, or even experience just engaging with a sister that's going through a tough time. Mm. We need your advice. Mm. We need your support, especially the older sisters. If you have something to share, please, please, please come over to YouTube. We may actually even post it on our social media. Mm. But we'd love to crowdfund and get sisters involved. How can we support? How can we help this sister to support her sister? We would love to know.
Yeah.
But sis, we are sending you so much love. Keep us posted, keep us updated. And hopefully you'll get to a place in the situation where things are starting to get resolved. We get to get a little bit more progress. But we love you and we love her, and we're sending you all our best. All our best. Man, that was a heavy one.
Jeez.
That was a heavy one.
Jeez.
The dilemmas be dilemma-ing.
For real. For real.
And yet onto yet another dilemma.
Ah, the expenses of friendship.
Ah, the expenses. Mm. So I really wanted to touch on this particular topic because, you know, we love to talk about friendship on this podcast. We are friends. We have spoken a lot about friendship stuff.
A whole book on it.
And one thing that I think a lot of people don't actually have candid, frank conversations around is obviously money.
Yeah.
But very rarely do we talk about money within platonic relationships. Yeah. It's often romantic relationships that we hear. The man should be paying X, Y, Z. Speaking of romantic relationships, and you know, the man should be paid ETC. Did you see that TikTok of the babe that ate 48 oysters on the first date?
Firstly, is that even healthy? Fair enough. Maybe she got a big appetite.
She hungry, but that man left. Yeah, he didn't pay the bill. He left because he invited her out for drinks.
You know what? Yeah, in this economy, did she like him a lot?
I don't know.
In this economy, and this is not me even policing like how much you eat when you're out, because like, get a full meal, girl, get a starter meal. But if someone explicitly says, I'm inviting you out for drinks, I think it's actually quite unfair, especially when, like, because of traditional dating dynamics, you know the guy is most likely gonna pay. Or you set that expectation and then you go and take the piss like that, like completely out of their budget. I can't lie, I have to sympathize, because it's not even a cheap food. That's oysters expensive. But also outrageous. 48 oysters,
sis,
like,
was hungry.
Get chips. Something on the side.
No, but then she proceeded to get
okay. Got you.
She proceeded to get more food after the oysters. As in a,
like, Abba
sent you the TikTok to watch. It was her, like, you know,
expressing,
I'm just enjoying my oysters, you know, slurp, slurp. And I was like, hey, girl, why are you hungry?
But no, I'm actually really trying to understand this. So did she know that she was spending a lot of money, but she just didn't, she was like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She covered the bill at the end of the...
Yeah, fair. But I would have...
But...
She better have.
Yeah. I don't know. Dating, look.
Anyway, dating's complex, man. It's complex.
When we... We'll bring on a brother. We will revisit this.
My thing is not that... Before someone gets me misconstrued.
Yeah.
My thing is not that she ate 48 oysters. Mm. Well, also... I mean, that's quite a lot. Is it mercury poisoning? So you get from eating too much seafood.
That hot sauce, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
It's a lot of raw fish. Yeah. But yeah... It's not that she ate that much. It's that someone said, I'm inviting you out for drinks.
Yeah.
And then you did that.
That's quick.
That he did say dinner, baby.
I mean, I hear it. You know what? It's, I ain't gonna lie, it's tough. And this is...
It is. But it's like me inviting you out, being like, oh, Renee, do you want to go and get drinks? Mm. And I know what my budget is.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And like, dating's already not cheap. And then you come in and being like, I'm going to get everything else. Mm. And then you go on overboard like that.
It was outrageous.
And it's like, so now I've got to pay. I'll pay for your what I initially intended to. The rest, I ain't got it.
I think what was bad about that, though, was that guy left.
Yeah. To, did he not say anything?
No. He just got up and left.
That's not courteous.
Just left.
That's
not
a gent
at all.
At all.
Come on,
guys. That's not gentlemanly.
That's do bad. That. Don't do that. Dating politics, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So God be the glory. But I say that to say we often have conversations around those kind of topics, but then platonic relationships.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, girl, but friends is getting a little pricey in the most recent, you know.
Life is getting pricey.
Talk to me about it.
Socializing is getting pricey.
Talk to me about it.
Going outside is expensive nowadays. Like, biggest talk. We're not one of them people that sit on the internet in front like we are rich to the... Even if I had money up to here, yeah? Let me tell you something. I will still talk about how expensive life has become.
110%.
And I think it's important too because it then normalizes the fact that, like, to feel broke, and we did an episode a couple of weeks ago, actually quite normal, especially when you're in your 20s or you're kind of young, you're getting on your feet with your career, you're trying to get on your feet financially in general, you're also trying to save towards certain stuff, you're trying to explore and adventure, trying to have a good time, but also trying to live, like balancing all of these different acts in a cost of living crisis or in a hard economic time or environment where things are genuinely, inflation is at sky high levels, things are becoming so expensive, food is literally like doubling in price in some cases, it's actually very normal to be like, I have not got the money. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Like, I actually do not have the money. And I think why I love that this is the topic for this week is a lot of people, because money is so linked to experiences and socializing and the capacity to be in community, in communion with people, it can then affect things like the community we have around us, like our friends, our family, when we are going through broke seasons. Do you get what I mean? Or times where we have to rejig our budgets a little bit and our finances. So now, you know, that dinner you used to go out for, I can't afford it anymore. Mm-hmm. Or that birthday dinner, or that birthday gift, I can't afford that. And you're now thinking, will this now affect my relationship or my closeness with that person? Yeah. And I do think it's one thing for someone's love language to be gifts or something that, you know, requires money and quality time that may surround money. But I do think it's important for us to have empathetic conversations with our friends that say, the environment that we're living in is not the same anymore, right? The financial environment is not the same anymore. And so if that affects our friendship dynamic, let's try and think of contingencies where our friendship is not so dependent on money. Do you get what I mean? I think that's a freedom people should be able to have. But like you so highlighted, especially in a country like the UK, we rarely talk about money, first of all. But also secondly, sometimes there can be a lot of smokes and mirrors about finances with your friends, and you don't know who's making what. And we've sort of discussed this kind of thing about friendship in your 20s before, where it's like there's this period in your 20s, I would say between like 24 to 26, 27, where everyone's life suddenly diverts. Like, it's, we were all on the same page, we were all at the similar stage in life. We were at school, then we were at uni, then we were fresh graduates. And then suddenly you get to that point of your mid-20s where it's like, suddenly some people are single, some people are married, some people are starting to have kids, someone's even bought a house, someone's driving a really nice car, others are still getting public transport, somebody has 12p, someone has 12 grand. It's like a lot of
there's no in between.
Someone's unemployed, someone's making six figures. It's like, okay, what's normal? And so I think when you are then navigating friendship, it's also like you don't want to be the one to admit you don't have it.
Yep.
Because you assume someone else has it. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just think that's when it all becomes awkward and complicated, and it's hard to then, it takes your friend, I would even reframe it in a positive way. I think it actually gives you a new opportunity to experience a new level of transparency with your friends
that
creates a new level of intimacy. Like, I know with us, in various points of our relationship and our friendship, we've had to tell each other, I don't have money.
Yeah.
Like, plain and simple. I think I even said it to you recently, I don't have the cash.
I've got nothing for you.
Do you get what I mean? I don't have nothing, but for that, I have nothing.
I have zero.
And I think that then breaks the ice a bit, because 100%. It's like, oh, you know what? Me too, you know, or you know, I'll cover that or whatever. I think it breeds a new level of intimacy because you're being honest. And I think you can't have intimacy without a level of honesty and transparency. And unfortunately, especially as women, where there is so much of a capitalistic pressure to keep up with the Joneses,
yep.
to look like, you know, a particular way, even if that's not your present reality, it can be very hard to be honest and transparent about finances because it's so linked to our self-esteem. Mm. And I'm sure the same is very true, or maybe even more amplified for men and masculinity. But within friendship, it's even harder because there is sometimes an element of, I wouldn't even say competition, but trying to keep up.
Yeah,
if somebody is like, oh, let's go to Tulum or let's do it. And it's like, I want to do that, and I also don't want you guys to all go without me and bond. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be left out. Mm-hmm. And FOMO is so real. But then we have to look at our accounts and think, maybe I should miss out on this because I ain't got it.
Yeah.
I ain't got it.
I ain't. And that's, you know what it makes me think of? Ages ago when I went to what was it? Confirmation classes back in the day. And my confirmation teacher was like, instead of lying, like we're just talking about like morality and stuff like that. She's like, instead of lying, you can be very, very truthful, but it's all about the way that you phrase things. And she was like, it's not about saying that you don't have the pen. It's about saying, I don't have the pen for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have the allocated funds for this particular thing. And that's what that, what you were just saying made me think of, the fact that there's quite a lot of things that we want to do with people that we often don't have the capacity to allocate for, because we now have new responsibilities, we now have other things to take care of. And because there is often that divergence that you were speaking of, right, where some of us actually have more responsibilities and more things that we need to allocate funds to, it means that our friendship fund, or our, the place where we, you know, love to have fun and do all those kind of things, is slightly depleted because we have a kid, or slightly depleted because now, you know, we have bills to pay. Bills are quite a serious thing, I must say, folks. and I think what I have always felt quite blessed about is the fact that quite a lot of my close friends are very honest, as you were saying, very transparent, and saying, babe, I would love to do this, but I mean, I have that. Not today. Not this month. Maybe next month we can talk about it.
Or maybe never.
Or maybe never. Like, because the answer is just no. I just don't.
But also, I think what our friends are really good at is saying, I can't do this, but I can do this.
They have alternatives. Yeah. I think that's actually important, right? Yeah. Because I think sometimes we can almost mark ourselves out of the race or mark ourselves out of actually engaging with people because we don't have money. But it's understanding that there's other ways that you can have fun.
We were literally talking about this.
We were like, look, we may not be able to go out, but
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
No, we can do...
We can stay in the place that we've paid rent for already. But also, like I was saying, that example of like, you know, when our parents used to commune with community, everyone was at everyone's house. Or I remember one of my friends was saying this, ironically, we were at her birthday dinner. My friend Mandy, if you've watched my New York vlog, Mandy. You've seen Mandy. She's been a supporting sister at many TMS lives. But she was saying how like the reason why we don't even have hall parties anymore, like big functions within the community is because people don't have that community mindset of saying, I'll bring a little bit of this, I'll bring a little bit of that. But like there was that essence of collaborative effort and pooling resources together and stuff like that. And I do think that we've lost that sense of just wanting to commune. And we've made it, to be honest, about image. Know, it's like, nah, we'll do the girls trip when we can afford to go to Bora Bora. Yeah. And it's like, we can do a girls night at home. Do you get what I mean? We don't even need to go anywhere. We could go to, we could get the train to another place.
We can go to Brighton. We can go to Copenhagen. You know, places that are close by.
Nearby. And I do think there's something to be said about like only communing with your friends when it is something big and glamorous and elaborate, or something that requires monetary investment. And I'm not saying these things are wrong. We love a good girls trip.
We do.
We love a good flight somewhere, a birthday dinner, something exuberant. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's something to be said about investing when the stakes are a bit lower, mm-hmm. or maybe the investment, like you said, is just time, or sacrificing your house for a little bit, or cooking that dinner and inviting someone over. Like mm-hmm. I remember when you had just come back from the States and I was building my company, I was like, none of us have money.
Not even a little
Let's
bit.
Be frank.
Not an ounce.
So like you came over to my mom's house and we just kicked it. We ate food, chilled in my room, and that That's was it. Times. Like that good was times. Good times. And not everything has to be, let's do brunch, let's do dinner, let's do lunch, you let's go for cocktails.
Them brunches. Ah, those brunches are expensive. And what you get for those brunches is outrageous.
Yeah.
I will never forget. The place that we went to, I don't think it was brunch. That's near our apartment.
Oh, yeah.
God of Abraham. No, guys. And this is why I actually don't believe in tapas sometimes. I don't believe in them or them small plates that cost like £20.
Yeah, no.
Because it's actually a bowl of nonsense. Yeah. There was one place we were like, oh, let's go out, you know, do some nice girly stuff together. Yeah. Come and see small plates for like £20-25. And I think the thing that angered me the most was that brownie.
It was really bad.
That was outrageous. I believe brownies should be fudgy and not cakey.
Yeah, same.
That was basically chocolate cake, but it was also dry.
Yeah, it was bad.
And it didn't even come with ice cream. It was raspberry coulis. Yeah. And I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I digress. But I say all of this to say, sometimes the things that we often put value on as exhibiting or demonstrating that, oh, we've done a thing as, you know, friends, is not all that it's cut out to be.
No,
and
it's not all that matters.
It's not all that matters, right? It's very much about, okay, how can I actually create environments or spaces for me to spend time with my friends in a meaningful way? Having said that, though, on the other side of the equation, I know that I love a good party. I love a good brunch, and I love a good, for example, I want to go to, maybe not Mexico, let's say I want to go to Italy for my birthday and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do you deal with, if you are, for example, a high earning friend or you're in a season of your life where actually, you know, you can afford to do a couple of things, etc., but you're finding you're in a space where quite a few of your friends are not capable of doing that. How do you deal with navigating money conversations, especially when it feels like you might have the upper hand in conversations?
Right.
So even if you have the best of intentions and you're like, look, I'll pay, or look, we can find something alternative to do. Sometimes folks that are in that position of having a little bit less or not comfortable with like sharing their current financial issues may feel a bit uncomfortable or feel a bit, it feels a little shady. Well, not shady, but it is something that causes quite a lot of discomfort. How does a high earning friend navigate the very real possibility that they may be quote unquote limited in doing certain things that they want to do because of money?
I think it rests on what we were just saying about the fact that like friendship isn't just experienced through the shelling out of loads of cash. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? The worst thing you can do is just label your friends according to their paycheck and be like, oh my God, my friends are broke. I need to level up and find a new group of friends, blah, 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 who can do what I want to do.
People love
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, well, actually, there's so much more to a person more generally than where it is they can attend, where they can afford to eat. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Like character, their capacity to show up for you, their desire to actually love you and their commitment to loving you. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. You know, they'll go with the people who can give them a good time, but who aren't necessarily good people, and they leave good people behind because they're pursuing a good time. And so honestly, I think you should pay attention to who are the good people, and then on a practical level realize that like if you give your friends enough notice for certain things, they could possibly make it happen. Do you get what I mean? And so for you, if somebody says, you know, pack your bag, we're going to Italy tomorrow, that might be light work. But for some people, and not even just limited to money, but life circumstances, they can't just be like, yeah, sure, I'm going to get up and leave the country. They need maybe 5, 6, 12 months notice.
Yep.
Let me know what you're trying to do and I can budget for it. And I think because of the economics like situation we're in right now, people need to budget for things. You can't just spring something on someone. And I've learned this as well.
Unless
like,
you pay him.
And that was my third thing, which was if you got it like that, get it for everybody. Do you know what I mean? And I know a lot of people will be like, I'm against that, blah, blah, blah. But I also think, yeah,
come on,
we're in a time where like, I think our parents had its rights in the sense of if someone's invited you somewhere, why are they not paying for you to go? And to be very honest, I hear it because what it makes us all do is live within our means. Do you get what I mean? It makes us live within our means.
We need sugar sisters as well as we need sugar daddies.
Sugar daddies, we need sugar sisters. But also like, because you've got to deep the scale of what you're asking people to do, right? And when you start to really think about it, it's a big investment. So certain things that friends, you know, want us to do, it's not that they're not good and they're not grand, but like, it's actually a really big investment. Right. And for you, it may be like, oh, that's disposable money. But for some people, actually, no, that's a car or that's a month or two's rent. Do you know what I mean? That you're asking me to spend on something else. And I think we also need to remember that some people are saying no, not because they don't have the money, but they've allocated the money to something else, which is oftentimes also one, a responsibility, or two, a future dream. And so what you're asking them to do is compromise on something that actually really matters. And what you're asking them to do is make a sacrifice. And it's not that you're not worth the sacrifice as a friend, but what you're asking for is a bit too much. Do you get what I mean? And it means different things. And I think that's another level of empathy. Money means different things to people. For some people, it's like, money is made to be spent. For others, money is made to be saved. Do you get what I mean? Money is made for a rainy day. Money is made to feed my family and my future family and my children and their children. And so depending on the season of life your friends may be in, they may not view money the same way that you do. So if you are a high earner, I would say if you do have the capacity to sponsor your friends to do stuff, then do that. 100%. Do you get what I mean? Like, if you can throw the party, throw the party and make sure that people aren't coming at a cost, or if you are doing a birthday dinner, pay for everyone, or you know, stuff like that. And I know everyone sits differently with that, and I'm really interested to hear what you think about that. But I do think that if you've got it like that, then do that. Like, show your friends how much you also care for them. And it doesn't have to be buying flight tickets and stuff like that. For that, I would say, like, give them enough notice and the people who can come will come, and who can't, just understand. But I do think there's a level of understanding that needs to come, and also a level of love, generosity, and grace that also needs to be a factor when you're out earning your friends.
100%.
And also realize that this might not be their situation forever either. So it could be a season thing. Like, okay, you can't go to Tulum this year, go to Tulum next year, you know? And that's actually okay. And you don't need to cut off your whole friendship circle of good people because someone didn't come to your birthday dinner or someone couldn't come on that trip. Like, money is a very touchy thing, but also for a lot of people, like, a lot of money goes different lengths for people. Do you get what I mean? For you, that's just a plane ticket. For someone, like I said, that's a whole 5 months rent.
And it'd be a lot.
Yeah. Or even how much it took them to earn that money, right? Like, for you, that was one day's work. For some people, that's 2 months' paycheck.
No, but it gets like
that. It gets like that.
It gets like that. And I think, do you know what? It's just this whole idea of being somebody that is giving.
Yeah.
Like, in all areas of your life, not just giving to your partner, because, child, trust me, we've all been there where we're like, we'll save up to do the most for our partner. We'll do this for our partner and etc. Ah, your friends as well. It's okay to also do that for your friends. Do you know what I mean? I think if you do have it like that, I definitely agree. Do it. There is so much joy and like beauty that can come as a result of investing in your friends financially, if you can, whether it be, you know, it might not even be, you know, sponsoring flight tickets or like sponsoring brunches and stuff like that. Do that if you can, but also it might be invest in their dreams. Like, you know, you could be an angel investor to their business. You could support them with some of their own goals so that they can get to a place where they're a bit more financially free. Friendship does include money. And if you are in a place of abundance, I very much believe that you should be supporting people to get to a place of abundance rather than spending time chastising them or making them feel inferior because they don't got it like you. And as quickly as you may have gotten it, you may lose it. Do you know what I mean? Heaven forbid that it does happen to you, but these things can often be so seasonal, right? Like, there may be seasons where you've got bare extra income, bare loads of extra money, okay? And yes, you can add to your savings. Yes, you can do investments, but personal relationships are also a form of investment, right? And you never know where you could need that person in a rainy day or later on. Just because they don't reciprocate in finances, they may reciprocate in another way. It may be that they'll become your emotional rock when you're going through a tough time in the next season. Exactly. It may be that they'll support you in a, you know, another way. And I think it's just important to see that money is one of the ways in which that we can invest in our friends too. Oftentimes we just lay those expectations and say, show up for me in this particular way, or like show up with this amount of money. And as you were saying, money goes different ways for different people. And the economy is tight.
Ooh.
It's really tight. No. It's really tight out here. And it's A-okay. Think about when we were kids, right? And we had less responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. We used to do this thing with our like friendship group when we were like sixth form or secondary school, where it was like when it was somebody's birthday, we didn't all go and get 10 million gifts for that person. We all knew our pocket money was short. Okay, it was S for shorts. We didn't have money. Do you know what I'm saying? But also, admittedly, this was back in the day when Freddos were 10p.
This was a different economic time.
But even then, our money was short.
Yeah.
So what we did was, rather than doing the whole individual thing, we pooled our resources every single birthday to get that card, to get that balloon, to get that shiny present that we knew the person would really enjoy. And it meant that everyone still felt a sense of ownership and the person still felt loved because they knew that everybody had actually contributed, whether it was a lot or not in, you know, a little bit, not a lot, right? And just to add context to that, a lot would have been upward £5. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money for people on £15 a week.
Do you know what I'm saying? If somebody gave £5, their parents was doing a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Usually at times when the economy was tough. Baby, we was broke. We were students. We were just trying to make it.
Yeah. But also, that I think, even with that conversation, the beauty of that is we weren't poor. We were just young.
We were young.
And I think that's another thing with like money. Like if you let social media fool you, you'll think, oh, we were poor. But actually, no, that was how much most people our age had.
Do you know how funny that was?
You get me? Like we weren't broke. We were average. And that's what people can afford averagely. But I think in a world as well where you're watching vlogs, where people are going to Michelin star restaurants for their 18th birthday.
And guys, can we actually have a conversation about that? Because not even just 18-year-olds, and I'm sure we can say the same for romantic relationships, social media is really blowing out of proportion our expectations for our relationships.
It's distorting it.
Ridiculous.
We can't think in relation to reality. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, I saw that this person ate 48 oysters on their first date. I should be able to do that, or like the equivalent. And it's like, are you normal? Can you afford that for yourself? And even if you could, most people can't. Do you know what I mean? And so when that translates to friendships, it's kind of like everyone's able to travel for their birthday. No, some people have never left the country before. And as much as that may not be aspirational, it is very normal and common. And I think a lot of us are distorting what normal is.
Absolutely.
And we think that a normal gift is a Dior saddlebag. It's like, it's not. It's actually not. It's a normal gift is a candle. Not even a Jo Malone candle.
I was even about to say, yo, guys, even me and Courtney, we're having this conversation because I said, oh, it would be nice to get some diffusers in our house, you know, smelling nice. What kind of scents do you like? And she was like, oh, you know, I really want a Jo Malone diffuser. I said, oh, let me have a look at the prices for this thing. I looked, guys, £75.
There's a reason why I myself haven't even bought it yet.
£75 and without shipping.
I know. That's the thing. But you see, when Melissa's wardrobe is what you're looking at, do you know what I mean? I have to remind myself I'm not there yet.
I said, one day.
One day. Do you get what I mean?
Well, not today. That on £75. I said, I will have to crowdfund.
But apparently, just put the girls on, Aldi has some really good dupes.
They do, you know. Aldi, and they're like £3-4, all that kind of stuff. So, and also, if you want something a little bit more luxe, M&S also do some really great diffusers. So, you know, M&S there's something great for everybody at every price.
Even Primark.
Range.
Primark diffusers are cheeky good.
Some good ones as well. They do some really, really good ones.
If you're looking for a black owned company to support, Lanji Candles.
Fantastic.
They're great as well.
They do fantastic. Yeah. And The Throw.
Yeah. Oh,
fantastic. Can you tell that we're getting old? Our excitement at diffusers is quite. Throw. Oh, The Throw, the scent. When I entered into the room, I felt the scent, you know. It was giving me vanilla and all that kind of stuff. But even that, right, the fact we're able to have the conversation, it's like, oh, I'd really like this baby girl.
It's not in the budget.
It is not within our allocated spend, but
yeah,
when that changes, we can have a conversation about that. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's even that, right, encouraging conversation in and amidst your friends.
Yeah.
and talking about the realities of what everybody is going through is super important. Because I think sometimes when you don't have access to that information, you can demonize your friends as well. Easily. And think, oh, you don't care about me because you're unwilling to spend this money on me. And it's like, maybe it's not that they don't like you or don't value you. Maybe it's that they just don't have the money or the funds. And it's so heartbreaking when people are made to feel inferior because they don't have the funds to express their love in the way that you actually desire.
100%.
Heartbreaking.
But on the flip side,
she said, you Scrooges,
do not be stingy. Because there is something special about showing someone that you are willing
100%.
To invest in a good 100%. Experience, a memory, time with them to do something that they love. And if you are repeatedly the person who you actually do have it, maybe you ain't got it like that, but you actually do have it and you could, especially if you do it for other people.
It's terrible.
But you won't do it for them. It does communicate something. So just remember that within friendship, just like even in romantic relationship, as much as romantic relationships are not solely built on money, money plays a part. It does. Get what I mean? In showing someone that you care and you work to also make sure that they can enjoy in life as well. And so, if you are a friend who is being stingy, stop that nonsense. Stop it. It's affecting your relationships and it's going to make people not invite you to places in the first place. And then you're going to be doing, my friends don't want me around. Why would they want you around?
God loves a cheerful giver. So if you can give, give.
Simple.
And it doesn't even have to be stingy in terms of the amount of money you spend. Yeah. It's even the thought in what you're spending, right? It can be a very small thing like, oh, I thought of you, so I got you flowers. When was the last time you got your friend flowers? Or, you know, something just nice that, something consistent, something nice is absolutely fine, but apply that level of giving to your friends. And I know some people are still dealing with unrequited platonic love. I think a lot of people are kind of stingy as a result of having given to people that don't necessarily reciprocate way. And I would encourage you to not, you know, give up hope in the same way that with some romantic relationships you end up with somebody that's stingy and you've got to let no, because some people you'll be doing the most for and they don't, not one cobble they've spent on you, not one let me buy this person something I was thinking of.
I remember
you
when I was dating a broke man.
I'm thinking of a broke man. Guys, if you've watched Love is Blind.
Oh yeah, I haven't finished it.
Ismail. Izzy. What's good, Poppy? How's that credit that you speak of?
Can you imagine you're actually not serious? Wow.
I ain't gonna do a spoiler. Maybe we have to do that whole Love is Blind.
I'll finish it, guys. Child. I'll watch it and then we could do a little dissection.
Yeah,
week.
We need to do like an after hours of that Love is Blind, because I miss those episodes, you know, that we used to do, All I'm gonna say is, Izzy, the evil that you're doing there, you must be stopped. Okay? Sisters, if you haven't watched it, please, I'm not going to spoil it for you, because I know that the last episode has just come out, so just go and watch. But it's not good to be stingy.
It's not good to be stingy at all. And it's also, you don't give just to receive.
Exactly.
As much as friendships are reciprocal, you have to understand that, like, giving as a practice in general and as a principle trains your heart in general and just shows good of your character.
Right.
And I also wanted to emphasize there as well, like, ask your friends what celebrating and communing and quality time looks like to them. What are their love languages? What do they want out of this friendship? Because there are some friends who it's like, I really want to make new memories with my friends. You know, I really want us to enjoy life. And so the holiday actually does matter to them. But there are some friends who are like, I just want you to come over and kick it with me. Honestly. You know, or I just want to FaceTime even. I would just appreciate a call. Because I've been seeing a lot of people talk about like low maintenance or high maintenance friendships. And I think it's just about like, neither is necessarily good or bad. I think it's just about understanding what your friend interprets as care and affection in that season of their life.
Absolutely.
And you know, when you are freshly making money and maybe you come from a background where it's like you didn't have anything, the idea of traveling the world or doing something nice or even being able to go out to eat with people you love is so exciting and thrilling. And so you want to do that all the time because that's what you associate with freedom and care and stuff like that. But for some people, that stuff doesn't even matter. So I would say, like, treat your friend as an individual and ask them what they love at the time, but also as the friend make sure that you know what is informing your choices and your what is motivating you and what's informing your preference. Because social media can be very insidious. And before you realize it, you have those unrealistic expectations for your friends and you're just applying more pressure than you need to.
100%. And remember, your community is in person. Yes. First. As much as you look at other people's friendships and what, you know, the girls are doing in their travel vlogs, what are you actually doing at home?
Real question.
Focus on your home. Your home is actually out of order. It's necessary for you to focus. And I think even allocating or think in your mind in the resources that you carry, actually allocating something towards friendship. Because I think as much as we have allocated funds to like other things, I think many of us see our friendships as like back burner things. If we have extra, if I can, then I'll spend money in this particular area. And it's like, no, if you can, allocate something towards friendships, right? Actually have maybe a pot where it's like, I'm going to invest in this friend this month, or I'm going to take this friend out for coffee or whatever, but actually thinking about the resources that you have and allocating something towards your friendships and investing in your friendships is so, so important, because it means that you're not left scrounging around for scraps of money when you are trying to celebrate your friends. You know when your friend's birthdays is coming up.
Yeah.
You know when there are certain things that are coming
up. And for those of you who don't, because I sometimes struggle with dates, just put it in your calendar.
Put it in your calendar.
No, my friends.
Dead ass. Put your calendar. If you haven't already, don't be relying on your memory. Oh, I've known them for this long. Adulting gets hard. Put an alarm on. So ping, 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 10 o'clock in the morning is somebody's birthday. Yeah. There you go. So even if you did forget, good morning, happy birthday.
Literally.
These things are important, right? And as much as we can say, oh, you know, everybody's going through it and, you know, mental health, etc. It's actually even more important to then show up and actually make the effort to ensure that you have systems in place to demonstrate your love for your friends.
Good.
So if you can, allocate. And then for those of you that love like gifts, you love like
love being, a cheeky gift.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Give us a range, okay?
Yeah.
Your birthday coming up, you don't always have to have super expensive things. Yes. You can put them at the top in the hope that somebody is going to buy them, because you never know, that could be somebody's lottery.
Yeah. And if you know your friends are like, on average, everyone's got it, go all out, baby,
put what you need. You better put that what do you call it, Maison. Go ahead, put the
what's the name
I hate you. Jeez. You go ahead and you put that. You go ahead. I hate you so much.
Oh, I don't know it either.
Because I'm going to tell you what name that Francis Maison Kirk Dachas something.
It's right, girl. You ain't got to say it. You have Baccarat.
There you go. There you go. That Baccarat Rouge. Yeah, Baccarat Rouge.
When you stopped at Maison. Oh, it does not the same thing.
There you go. That's how you know. Can take the girl out of the hood. Can't take the hood out of the girl. North London baby, top them gang. You go ahead. I actually despise.
Oh, my chest.
You go ahead and put that expensive stuff in the top. You go ahead and put that at the top of your list, and maybe somebody will buy
someone it. Someone will buy it for you.
Then you would be surprised.
Yeah, someone will buy it for
especially if you have a wide array of different friends. Like, you might have a friend that has an inheritance. Put what you need at the top. But then equally, there's other things that you need that cost less money.
Yeah.
Like for me, one of my favorite things to put is, get me a Lidl or Aldi gift card. I love that.
Yeah.
Or like, get me a Costa something. Just get me something that I need.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes there's like essential items that you don't want to spend money on.
Yeah, 100%.
If you give me the funds for that.
Let me tell you something. If for my next birthday, you get me the big pack of toilet roll from Costco, do you think I won't be eternally grateful?
Because the labor involved is those things that will actually catch you off guard. A good Nando's voucher. Easy.
God be the glory.
Easy. A good Nando's. I don't know if there was one day, I was having a rough day. One of my friends said, oh, let me get you a Nando's. I could have cried. Like, I was so happy.
Could have cried.
I said, I needed that. Literally. Right there. Literally. So just even as you're creating your gift list, it can be the highest of highs. Literally. And also just the basic stuff, just so that people know that they can contribute to your life in some way.
I'm telling you. Actually okay. That's actually one of my love languages.
It really is.
Surface well for the boys. Just surface well for the boys. Literally, just if you ever hear Courtney's upset, a cheeky £15 will make me happy instantly. Just, oh, I'm going to send you a little sign.
It is just something nice.
Just go get yourself a lunch.
Do you know what I mean? And then you can go and get yourself an expensive lunch that you don't have to justify.
Do you get what I mean?
No, seriously. Just a nice little pasta, Nando's.
Even a cheeky Nando's. Someone buy you a coffee. Yeah. But also those things add up.
They do.
So don't. Also, this is another thing. Don't commit to what you can't follow through with.
100%.
If you know, I can't do this every month, but I'll give it to you one time, or I'll do this for you one time, then let's make it an occasion, you know? But
that's okay.
Don't overcommit. Don't push yourself. 100%. Don't be going into debt because of friendship. That's for damn sure.
Oh, that's, what can you imagine?
Don't do that. No, because I know a lot of people who are going on the girls trip the credit card.
No, girl, don't do that. Mm-mm-mm. Don't do that. Because they ain't going to pay you back.
Mm-mm, unless it's on an Amex.
It's you, and even then, Shai, still you that's got to, it's you to that back. Has to pay it back. So sis, please,
there you go.
Avoid these situations. Be honest. And if you can, crowdfund. Yeah. Like, guys, like, even if, for example, somebody puts on their list, you know, I want this really pricey thing.
Yeah.
Collaborate. A
couple of you come together to
collaborate. Everybody comes together and puts their money, especially because now we're older. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about our friendship group, right? And how we were there putting our £1, £2 together, getting something nice. Because there's like a good like 7 of us, 8 of us. Somebody is lush. You're getting something nice. Maybe you're not getting the foundation from Superdrug. You're getting the foundation from Dior.
There because
when
go.
You add it together.
Yeah, we got the money now.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, now that we're all a little bit older, obviously people are in different places, but that kind of thing adds up. Mm-hmm. So if you did want the pricey perfume or the pricey whatever, it's like everyone has come together. Yeah. We have enough money to do that. So if you do have a girls group or if you have friends in common, collaborate.
All together.
Collaborate. Yeah. Even when it comes to, I really do wish we could bring back the communal spirit of our parents. Because even throwing a party, if you take all of the expenses of a party,
this is what Mandy was saying,
by a couple of people, you could throw
you could throw a big hall party. The amount of times we mention hall parties on this podcast, we need to throw
TMS,
one
yeah,
for real. But like, yeah, like everyone just do your bit.
Do your bit, sisters. And that's what we're going to end on today.
Man, what a great
episode. Do your bit. But sisters, we are so interested to hear what you have to say about this situation. Have you ever been in an outrageous friendship situation where you were demanded to cough up money?
You know what we didn't even talk about? The cost of weddings. Like the cost of being like a bridesmaid or something.
No, we're not finished. Let's go back.
Who is meant to absorb that cost?
I ain't got nothing for you.
To be very honest, I don't even have anything to add to this conversation. I've never been a bridesmaid.
I've been a bridesmaid once.
So who?
But my cousin's wife.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I didn't pay for nothing.
Though. Were you like young?
No, that young. I was like maybe 20, 21.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I paid for my transport.
Oh, yeah.
I paid for my shoes. And they paid for my dress. They paid for everything else.
Yeah. I would want to do that for when I find.
Oh, 100. Oh, God. I think it's always going to be a case-by-case basis.
I think it's
becoming increasingly the norm, though, for like bridesmaids to have to financially
invest,
especially with the cost of weddings themselves skyrocketing. Crazy. When I was looking at the price of
insanity,
good God. So just to see somebody for the rest of your life, just to wake up next to this person, you're telling me that I gotta put down a cool 40-50k?
Impossible.
Beat me. Because that's how you're going to get the money out of beat me, mate.
Nah.
Outrageous. So well, it definitely makes sense that there will be some kind of financial investment as a bridesmaid, probably when you're thinking about things like hen parties.
Or financial sacrifice.
Like financial sacrifices. But I think what's becoming increasingly difficult is as the cost of weddings are inflating, the investment from the community is starting to get a little bit, you know, especially because we had this conversation amidst our friends in terms of like, you might have to charge people to come to your wedding.
Guys, I've been saying this thing.
Jasmine, I've
been
lie.
Saying this thing for so long, and everyone thought I was crazy. Then cost of living game.
Yep.
A profit.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Nah.
A woman before her time. Yeek. What are your thoughts on charging for, not tickets per se,
entrance fee,
but hear me.
Entrance fee.
You send people your invitations and you say, send me £100. I don't know how you're going to put it, but like, send me £50. But this is the thing, no gifts.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
just send me the money.
I think it's very normal for people to say, I don't want a gift, just give us money, because that's what we actually need. But to be fair, I think that might even be a whole nother podcast episode, just talking about like weddings.
I have nothing the financial- to share. I have nothing. We'll bring somebody questions.
On. No,
yeah,
no, no. We'll bring people on. Don't worry. We'll widen up that conversation. Bring on our sisters that have got married, because we've even just the industry around weddings.
Weddings.
I want to tell you right now.
You want to
now,
say capitalism in full effect?
I want to tell y'all right now. Look me about our balls. Y'all are trifling. For some of the reason things, why. This whole Las Vegas wedding situation is starting to look more and more desirable as I get older. Eloping is just looking, because 40-50 grand to get married,
a house deposit,
and there's so much. Obviously, if you have it like that and you want to do that, do your thing.
Easy.
Do your thing. That I ain't got nothing against you, but I personally think it's outrageous.
But this is what we call financial relativism.
Yeah,
do you get what I mean? The, everything is so relative. 50k for someone, small chops.
But even that is the actual value that you're getting for that 50k is what I find outrageous.
But everyone perceives value differently.
That's true. Anyways, if you find it valuable, Sha.
If you find it valuable, then it is what it is. Because for some people, a wedding is social acceptance. Mm-hmm. It's your family's approval.
And also that you may actually have people that are sewn into that wedding like that.
So. And that's the thing. It's like, for some people, 50k, they could raise it like that.
That's true.
Do you get what I
mean?
That's
true.
For others, 50k is a lifetime's worth of work.
And people will come to your wedding, they will chop like 150.
And then you're going home. Is it even a home you're going to? Is it even a furnished house?
A shed, if you will.
But let's talk about priorities another day.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's a whole other TMS conversation. And we might bring some sisters and brothers to talk about that one, because the cost of relationships,
The cost of romance,
The cost of romance, but also the cost of marriage is a lot. No, it's a lot. No,
for real.
Being married is expensive.
I think it's more the cost of a wedding.
Yeah.
The cost of marriage.
Yeah, but even
that's
that,
more spiritual.
Well, to be fair. I was watching a sermon and one guy was talking about, oh, the dink life is great. So it's double income, no kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you have kids. Anyways, these are all conversations for
the cost of series.
The cost of... Anyway, you heard it here first, guys. We hope you enjoyed that conversation. let us know what you think on the expenses of being a friend.
Yeah.
How much do you spend on your friends? Should we invest more in friendship? Mm. What outrageous stories do you have to tell us about some of the expenses that you've had to dole out on your friends? Is there anything that you would like covered that we didn't cover? I would love to know. Drop it like it's hot, respectfully though, in the comments below on YouTube. And also on Spotify, you can now send in notes that we can publish
crazy
on Spotify,
stuff.
Which is exciting. So once you have listened and of course rated 5 stars, don't drop comments if you haven't rated it 5 stars just yet. Please go and do that nonsense right now ASAP. Thank you. Drop it like it's hot. And of course, feel free to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We are growing big, healthy community. Woo! Let's go. At To My Sisterhood, literally everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Just everywhere. You'll find us, baby. We're outside.
We are.
And
we
of
are.
Course, come and follow my lovely, lovely, lovely co-founder and co-host over here on the left of me at CD Mwatang. And of course, come and follow me over at Renee Kapuku.
We love to see it. Sign up to our mailing list on our website, To My Sisters.
You said that with such...
Because I was about to say at To My Sister, and I said the same thing last week.
I am yelling.
Sign up to our mailing list on our website, tomysisters.com. And make sure that we see you at the live show on the 27th of October. Sisters, we love you. Have an amazing week. And as always, keep glowing and growing.
What'd you say?
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.